Turn now in your hymn books to hymn number 225, Hide Thou Me. That's hymn number 225. And let's stand as Pastor comes to lead it.
Thank you. were a bit sad this week to say goodbye to some of our college students. Brad and Leah Vogel will be heading back to West Coast this Friday. Is that right? You're leaving Friday? Friday. All right. So mom's going to have lots of tears. She says goodbye to her baby girl. So make sure that you wish them well. And then also Cindy Fett. Cindy's leaving this week as well. She heads back this week. And then in the next few weeks, you'll see some of our other college students. One student that we're stuck with for a few more weeks is Daniel Smith. And he's going to come and sing with us for us right now. We have loved having Daniel home, haven't you? I've loved having all the kids home. But it's been a blessing to hear his music this summer.
My eyes and see His awesome glory. I remember who He is and bow the knee. Bow the knee, bow the knee. He is King of all the ages, bow the knee. God alone on His throne. To love Him more, bow the knee. In His hand He holds the power of creation. With His voice He spoke and all things came to be. Yet He hears each simple prayer I bring before Him. When I humbly seek His face and bow the knee. Bow the knee, bow the knee. He is King of all the ages, bow the knee. God alone on His throne. See Him high and lifted up and bow the knee. Kneel before Him, all adore Him. As you live to love Him more, bow the knee. Bow the knee, bow the knee. He is King of all the ages, bow the knee. God alone on His throne. See Him high and lifted up and bow the knee. Kneel before Him, all adore Him, as you live to love Him more, bow the knee.
Well, let's take our Bibles this morning. Please turn to Ephesians chapter 1. We continue in our Standing on the Promises series. And this morning we're going to talk about the promise of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that He was promised? He is the promised one. And it says so several times in the Scripture. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I am going to miss the college students. It seems like they just got home. And oh, here they go again. And so make sure you wish them well and you're praying for them. And of course, the three that are leaving this week. And Paul, when do you leave? It's not long after. September 2nd. Okay, you're here a couple more weeks. And then Daniel's here until Labor Day, he said. And then Grace Bennett, she's on vacation with her family right now, but she'll be going back in a couple weeks as well. So remember to pray for them and hold them up before the Lord and wish them well as they go. I know they would appreciate that. I know the Vogels' grocery bill will be cut in half as soon as Brad leaves. It's not Leah's fault, it's Brad's. So that's always a help, I suppose. So, but what they save in grocery bill, it costs them in college fees, so it's just kind of a wash. Ephesians chapter 1. Let me mention this. If you have a cell phone and don't need to have it on, so if you're not an emergency services worker or you're not, you know, you don't have somebody waiting to go into labor, it would help us if you turn it off because it's starting to interfere with our equipment in the room, our sound system and stuff like that. We can't move the screen right now. We couldn't put it up if we wanted to because the opener doesn't work anymore because of cell phones. If nobody's in the room, it goes up. But if you're here, it doesn't. So if you could do that, that would help us. We're also going to make a machine. Brother Judge is working on a machine. If you send a text during the service, it's going to show up on the screen so everybody will know what you're talking about. All right? That would be a wonderful thing. That'd scare you, wouldn't it? You saw, you know, hey, Susie, what are you doing after church? Oh, boy, you'd be in trouble. All right. Ephesians chapter 1. The preacher's boring this morning. Boy, that'd be a trouble. The good news is I can't see it. So Ephesians chapter 1. That's when everybody would start amening. Ephesians chapter 1. Are you glad you're saved? Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. And I'm going to be honest with you. When I get to the preaching time, I get excited, but maybe not always for the right reasons. I'm going to be honest with you because I know it's the last thing I got to do. When Brother McDonald is gone, boy, there's a lot more work to do. And then I've got teens now and running all the time. And I'm sweating already and haven't even started preaching. So, but I got to be honest, I love preaching. And I really do. It excites me. I like getting into the Word of God. I find that I study the Bible differently when I have to preach. And then you get a little bit deeper. And I enjoy that. So I hope and pray it's a blessing to you this morning. I've enjoyed studying the promises of God's Word. I've enjoyed that. You know, a lot of times we're trying to warn. That's the shepherd's job, to warn the sheep of the wolves that are all around us. And but it's refreshing just to get into some good news. Amen. That's what the gospel is. It is good news. And so I enjoy preaching these promises. So let's look this morning, Ephesians chapter 1, begin reading in verse 1. Oh, one more thing. Continue to pray for Camp Yes. One more week. One more week of Camp Yes. I've heard wonderful returns and the benefit that we've seen in children's lives. And they're looking forward. We have campers going this week, and we also have workers going this week. Some of our teenagers. And so pray for all of them as they go to camp for one more week of Camp Yes and our vacation Bible schools right after that. And then back to school. And every parent said, amen. There. You can always find the parents. All right, let's read in the Bibles this morning, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Let's back up and read from verse 2 again. I just think that's a good little note right there from Paul. Who's he writing to? Verse 1 says, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Is that you? I hope it's you. Are you saved? Are you faithful? Then he's writing this to you. Grace be to you. Now, where would we be without the grace of God? We would be lost if it were not for grace. That's why the old songwriter John Newton said, it's amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. He says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Don't miss the last two words, in Christ. If it weren't for grace, you'd be lost. But if it weren't for Christ, you'd also be lost. And our spiritual blessings from the Father are only because of what Christ has done for us and because we are found in Christ. Verse 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. I want you to notice in this passage how often it says, by Christ, in Christ, through Christ. Verse 1 says, faithful in Christ. The Bible says in verse 2, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, we're blessed in spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 5, we're adopted by Jesus Christ. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Now, I don't have time this morning, but I could prove to you that Jesus Christ is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He is the Beloved, and we are accepted in Christ. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, or through Christ again, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Listen, I want you to notice in verse 9 that God hath saved you according to his good pleasure. That doesn't make any sense to me. Because in saying that, I have to say this, it was God's pleasure that sent his son to the cross. You say, wait a minute, Jesus, you don't have to die for me. God says, I'm glad to let it happen. Have you ever done that to somebody? You don't have to do that. And you say, no, I'm happy to help. The scripture teaches us that God, listen, I don't get for a minute that the God was happy to see his son hanging on a cross and the sins of the world piled upon him. We know that God had to forsake his son and turn his face away. Don't think for a moment he was pleased in the moment, but he was pleased in the plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. And he saved us according to his good pleasure. That just boggles my mind, so I just thought I'd stop and mention that. The Bible says, as we read on in verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according, again, there's this phrase, to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Paul has talked about our past. He's talked about our present condition. And now he mentions our future. One day, because of we are in Christ, we'll be all gathered together, redeemed, purchased. And the Bible says, gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even, and there's that phrase again, in Him. Now, I've only read 10 verses, but how many of you think this morning it's pretty important that we are in Him, or we are in Christ, or we are accepted in the Beloved? Listen, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man come to the Father but by me. I don't care what some other false religion says. I don't care what Oprah Winfrey says. I'm here to tell you that if you don't have Christ, you don't have salvation. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's pretty simple. And so we were thankful today that we are in Christ Jesus, and I hope that you are faithful in Christ Jesus. Verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Now, wait a minute. We get all this plus an inheritance? There's more? I was at a deacon's meeting a while ago, and I think the men could have shot me by the end of the meeting, because we had reasoned together for a long time about an issue that we were having. We were looking at the Constitution, and we were trying to figure out what's the best way to do this. And we looked at it, and we got it all figured out after about 3 hours. And I turned the page, and there was one more line at the very top of the next page that changed everything. I mean, you remember that, Brother Mark? That added a call to our lawyer. That call added about 3 more hours of deliberation and figuring it out. And so that's not the kind of weight there's more I'm talking about. When we turn the page, we find that there's so much more. Not only are we in Christ, but listen, don't be afraid to keep reading, because there's more. There's something exciting. There's an inheritance. So the Bible says in verse 11, and whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now, wait a minute. The songwriter said this: alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die, that he devotes a sacred head for such a worm as I. And yet that worm, the Bible says in Ephesians 1, if he can get in Christ, we can be to the praise of his glory. Isn't that an amazing thought? To think that we can be lost and dying sinners, that we can be on our way to hell, and just by simple belief, trusting in Jesus Christ, we can be found to the praise of his glory. We can bring honor to the Father. We have the wonderful privilege of being the image of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful privilege. Verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, I got to be honest with you, I don't believe anybody says, well, I got saved without ever hearing the Bible. How can you get saved apart from the Word of God? The Bible says it's by the washing of the water by the Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We are saved through the message of the Gospel. The good news of Jesus Christ. Now, somebody may share the gospel with you. They may tell you how to be saved. But friends, if it's not based on the Word of God, you can't be saved. For He is the way, the truth, and the life. There's only one way. So the Bible says, we have trusted in Him. After that, ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that ye believed, here's our phrase today we're looking at, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Let's pray together this morning. Father, we're thankful for the Word of God. We're thankful for the message of salvation. We're thankful that we can be in Christ Jesus. And Father, since we have the Son, we have life. We have been regenerated. We have been quickened according to His Spirit. So I pray, Lord, this morning that You'd help us to grasp this promise. Father, each one of us, whether we know it or not, if we are children of God today, if we have been saved by faith through grace, then we already have received this promise. But Lord, my question is, are we utilizing the Spirit to its full potential? So, Lord, help us to rely upon You. Help us, Lord, to hear that still small voice. Help us to understand the pleadings of the Holy Spirit within us and the groanings and the utterings which only He can make, it says in Romans 8. And, Father, I pray that You just help us, Lord, to embrace Him as the third person of the Trinity and bring much glory to the Father. And, Father, we'll give You thanks and praise. I ask for Your Holy Spirit's help today. I surrender to You, and we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, a lot of times, it seems that the Holy Spirit is really the forgotten person of the Trinity. Now, let's just be honest. I think that's a fairly accurate statement. And I would say that that's likely more accurate in the Baptist churches than probably other churches. And the reason I say that is because we're so afraid to be called charismatic or Pentecostal. We're afraid to acknowledge the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I believe that the charismatic movements, they go too far because that's all they acknowledge is the Holy Spirit of God. And the issue is you'll remember that when Jesus Christ in John 14, 15, and 16 promised the Comforter was coming, He said phrases like, He shall teach you all things. He will testify of Me. He will speak of Me. He will bring into remembrance everything that I have taught you. And through that little bit of teaching from the Lord Jesus Christ, it is my understanding that the Holy Spirit's job in our lives is to illuminate the Scripture and to teach us things. He's to guide us and direct us on a daily basis, but also He is to bring glory to Jesus Christ. That's what He is guiding you to do. He's guiding you to worship. The Bible says Jesus taught the woman at the well that the day is coming where men will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Spirit of God guides us into worshiping God the Father and God the Son. And so I believe that when we begin to worship the Holy Spirit and hold Him up, although He is worthy as the third person of the Trinity, He says, no, 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 I want you to look to the Father. I want you to worship God. I want you to lift up that name above all names, Jesus Christ. And so the Holy Spirit is constantly guiding us and directing us and pointing us to Jesus Christ. But He's important. He is that point of contact in our lives. I get tired of, I got to tell you, sometimes on Sunday nights, there's a lot of religious shows on. And so I sometimes watch a little bit of it here and there. I just want to see what's going on. And so I'll watch some of those guys. And there's one, if I can't sleep, if it's a late night and I can't sleep, there's one that comes on pretty late. And I won't say his name, but I'm going to tell you, it drives me crazy because he's always selling a hanky. Or he's selling a little bottle of water. And you'll say, well, this is water that I drank from. This is a hanky that I touched. and I will send this miracle healing cloth to your house, and it'll be a point of contact. Listen, the only point of contact I need between me and Jesus Christ is the Holy Spirit of God that is dwelling within my heart. And I can go boldly to the throne of grace anytime I need. But I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit as He leads us and as He guides us. We see in John chapter 14 and 15 and 16, those same chapters again and again, Jesus promised another comforter. He says, but when I leave, my Father will send a comforter. And the comforter would come. We sang this morning, the comforter is come. As we rejoice and celebrate that we have the Holy Spirit indwelling our lives. I want you to notice some things in the Scripture we see today that I believe that will help us understand the Spirit's ministry. As He guides us and directs us, and we can give thanks and praise today for the promise of the Holy Spirit. I'm so thankful that Jesus didn't ascend from the Mount of Olives and leave us comfortless. Aren't you? I'm so thankful today for the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives. I got thinking this week as we heard the news of Joel and Michelle going home to be with the Lord. Here's a young man, just about, I believe, about 25 years old. And if you haven't heard, Faith Eagles, that was Pastor Eagles was our assistant pastor here, and his wife, it was her brother, Joel and Michelle. And we support the Michelles as they went off to Holland as missionaries. And Brother Michelle was killed on Tuesday in a terrible car accident, leaving three little children and a wife in Holland. And I said to my wife Tuesday night, we were laying in bed, and I said, Colette must be having a terrible night. And Pastor Rutherford, Colette's mother, and Colette is from his church, Pastor Rutherford's church. And so Tuesday afternoon, I mean, it was just hours after it happened, Pastor Rutherford and his wife got Mrs. Colette's mom into their car and drove her all the way to Edmonton, so that she could get on a plane and fly over to be with her daughter. We thought, what a terrible time for this family. We know that Mr. and Mrs. Michelle, Faith and Joel's parents, they rode on vacation in South Dakota at the Mount Rushmore, and they left their truck and their trailer there, and they jumped on an airplane, and they flew to Europe immediately because of the death of their son. We got thinking, what a terrible time. And we were thinking Tuesday night and said, they must be just having a terrible night. This young lady, just 25 years old with three little children, wondering, what do I do now? Where do I go next? The next day, there was a little email that came across from Stan Camps, also a missionary in Holland. And he and his wife had taken Colette down to do some paperwork. They have to, of course, send the body back here for burial and such. And so they were taking her down to help her with the paperwork. And he sent this little note. He says, please pray for Colette. She's leading a lady to Christ right now. I thought, how does anybody do that without the Holy Spirit of God? You see, the Spirit of God can come to us and comfort us in our tragedies. And I'm so thankful that God gave us the promise of His Holy Spirit. The Bible gives us, first of all, as we think of this promise of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says in verse 13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. I want you to notice that that promise of the Holy Spirit came after that ye believed. You got to be saved. The promise is made to the faithful in Christ Jesus. That's verse 1. And verse 13 says, after that ye have believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That promise is if you're saved today. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Let me just take a moment. I wasn't planning on doing this, but let me share some verses with you. John chapter 3 and verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says that same Son, Jesus Christ, who died, that came to this earth in John 3:16, in Romans 5:8 says, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He said, well, I got no problem because I'm not a sinner. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This I know, if you rob one bank, you're a bank robber. If you tell one lie, you're a liar. People don't think of it that way, but the Bible says all have sinned. And Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. But, this is the greatest but in all the Bible, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Himself, while He was here, says again, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, the Scripture is plain, very plain, my friend. It's very simple. If you need to know Jesus Christ as your Savior today, He is the way, the truth, and life, and you cannot be saved apart from Jesus Christ. He died on the cross not to bear His sins, for He was perfect and sinless, but to bear the sins of this world and pay your price. You remember, the wages of sin is death. Jesus paid that price for you. He died so you don't have to. And once we are saved and once we have trusted Jesus Christ, we can partake of the promise of His Spirit. Now, there are some things about this promise I want you to see. The first thing is this. When the Spirit of God indwelt me, it was a preview of my future. A preview of my future. Look in verse 14. The Bible says in the end of verse 13, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Then there's a comma. The thought is not done, which is the earnest of our inheritance. It's the earnest. Who knows what an earnest is? Nobody knows. An earnest is a down payment. A down payment. How many of you ever purchased something and you had to make a down payment first? You ever done that? You say, well, somebody will say, well, you've got to give me $100 down and I'll hold it for you, and then you can come with the rest of the money and take it home. That's a down payment. And a down payment or an earnest is just a portion of what we get. Now, how many of you, since you got saved, say, you know what, my life has been a little bit more joyful. I've got peace now. I understand the comfort of the Holy Spirit. I understand what it's like to have that still small voice leading me and guiding me. I love it when the preacher steps on my toes. Some people don't like that. Some people say, well, preacher, you need to preach. Boy, if you're saved and you got the Spirit of God, you say, oh, come on, preacher, pour it on. Give me the Word of God. Man, we love it. We need to hear it. The Holy Spirit just stirs us up. Man, that's a wonderful thing. And listen, that's just a small part. The joy that you have, the peace that you have, the comfort that you know, that's just a down payment. That's just a piece. This is a preview. He says, no, this is just an earnest of the inheritance. It's going to get a whole lot better, friends. This is a preview of your future. God just gives you a little taste. You ever done that? You ever bought a birthday cake and just took a little... Yeah? You and I tell you what, I got so used, my teeth, I got real strong teeth. That's from eating frozen butter tarts. Mom would make butter tarts for company, but never for her loving children. So Wade and I would have to sneak them out of the freezer. Now, we don't do it anymore. My wife still does. But we'd want a little taste of it. Just get a little one, you know. That's a preview. They're a whole lot better when they're warmed up and room temperature, you know. But we just had to have a little taste, just a little bit. Just take a sliver. A couple times now I've offered to help at home. Let me cut the roast beef. Let me cut the turkey because I'm picking at it while I want a preview. But I tell you what, it's nothing like sitting down to the full meal. The preview is okay. But listen, friends, a better thing is coming. Amen. The Holy Spirit of God is coming. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Turn back there. Let me show you something. Here's a misconception in the Bible. A misconception a lot of Christians have. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, we all know verse 9, and we kind of quote it. We may not quote it word for word, but we use it. And verse 9 says, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. How many of you have used that verse? You may not know it word for word, but you're saying, you know what? I have not seen. Heaven is coming. It's going to be great. Ear hath not. And we kind of quote that thing. That's a misconception. Look what the next verse says. Look at verse 10. But, remember I said the other but was the best? This might be the second best one. But God hath revealed them. We went around and say, oh, I have not seen, ear have not heard. God says, yeah, I've shown you. I've revealed it. How? Look what it says. Verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. We get a little taste of heaven right now. We get a little down payment. We get a little earnest of what God is going to do. You say, well, I really don't know what heaven's going to be like. I think God has placed something in your heart that you got a little bit of an idea. It may not be the perfect image of what heaven will be, but through reading the Scriptures and through His still small voice, every one of you are thinking in your head right now of somebody that's gone on before, and you get to be reunited with them. That's the Holy Spirit's down payment. He's saying, something's coming, and it's better. You know, a few years ago, we had all those Spanish folks immigrate here from Salt Lake City. And when they came, there was, I think there was 17 of them that came. It was mom and dad. They had five children. Four of them had spouses. They had a few grandchildren. So there was quite a lot of them. They went from 17, and in about 5 years, they're about 25 now. They had all these kids just keep coming. Some had twins. But I remember when, how many of you remember Pastor Benson that came and spoke to us about the Mormons? Do you remember that? He did a great job, talked about the Mormons. He and his wife had been saved out of the Church of Latter-day Saints, and he talked about that and taught us about that night. And Pastor Benson's a good friend of mine, just fantastic people. Well, their daughter married one of the Garcia family, married Hendrick. And so they came up here, and when they came here, she was 9 months pregnant. They drove all the way from Salt Lake. And just a few weeks later, she gave birth to a baby boy named Benjamin. Well, you can imagine how Grandma and Grandpa felt. They're in Salt Lake City, and this new baby, they were excited for months. They're going to have their first grandchild, and then just before the baby's born, they had to move away. Well, it was later the following summer. That was in, it was just right before Christmas, wasn't it, hon? There, Christmas Eve or Boxing Day, one of those Benjamins born. And so the following July or August, these folks couldn't cross the border because they were working on their immigration. So they said, Pastor, would you go to Buffalo and pick up the Bensons? I said, sure. And I'd become friends with Brother Benson by that time. And so I went and picked them up and started driving them back. And as we were getting to about St. Catherine's from Buffalo, Mrs. Benson, Cindy, she doesn't say very much. She's a very quiet lady. She said, how much further? I said, about 25 minutes. And she squealed. A little squeal. Ooh. Because she was going to see her grandbaby. And about 15 minutes later, she said, we were just getting past Grimsby. She says, how much further, Pastor? I said, oh, about 15 minutes. Oh! And so I started catching on what was going on, so I started playing with it. I said, hey, it won't be long now. I said, another 10 minutes. And she started crying. I mean, tears were coming down her face. And her husband grabs her hand. He's rubbing her hand. He says, hold on, dear. We're almost there. And we got up to on the link there. And we were about to exit onto Gage Avenue, Upper Gage. And I put on my signal. I said, well, this is their road. And she lost it. She was bawling. She was so excited. And we got to that house she saw her daughter. She hadn't seen her daughter in 7 or 8 months. She walked right by her. She says, where's my grandbaby? Where's Benjamin? And Hendrick came around the corner and he handed that little baby to her. And she just stood there and wept. And I remember, I just got out of the way. I just stayed back. I tried to let them have their reunion, you know. And I stayed back and I remember her holding that baby. And she says, I've seen all kinds of pictures. She says, they even sent me some video on my computer. She says, they've described him to me. She says, they didn't even come close. I got thinking about that and thinking, you know, that's what the Holy Spirit's doing right now to you. He's giving you a preview. And He's describing it. And the Word of God lays it out. And our minds are picturing heaven. It's not even close. One day. But the Holy Spirit says, for now, I'm going to give you a taste. All the pictures and all the videos in the world were just a taste. And that's what got her so excited on the ride there. And we ought to be excited on the ride. Amen? Good night. My wife just had a birthday yesterday. She's getting closer. Amen? We got to get excited on the ride. You've had a taste. But reality's coming. We are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. It's a preview of our future. And then also, as we think of this promise, it's a promise of His comfort. Turn, if you will, to Acts chapter 1. You remember in John chapter 14, I'm not going to turn there because there's so many verses, we don't have the time for it. I'm only on my first point and we've got 15 minutes left. So we got to move. You remember in John chapter 14 and 15 and 16 that Jesus Christ repeatedly promised the disciples a comforter is coming. Look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 4, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." The promise of the Holy Spirit is not just a preview of our future, but as Jesus was telling His disciples, it is a promise of His comfort. He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." You say, how does Jesus accomplish that? In the presence of His Holy Spirit indwelling our lives. You know, I'm so thankful when Jesus said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Do you know what that means? That means that once I'm in Christ, there is no way I can possibly ever lose my salvation and go to hell. Because if He would ever send me to hell, He would have to leave me and forsake me. But He's promised He'd never do that. He'll never leave me. So if He's going to cast me to hell, He's got to go with me. And Jesus Christ is not going to hell. The Bible says He not suffer His Holy One to see corruption. Listen, I'm thankful today for the promise of the Holy Spirit as He brings us, shows us our future and He brings us our comfort. But turn back to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to move on here. I want you to see not only the promise of His Spirit, but the promise of His seal. The promise of His seal. The Bible just simply says in verse 13, In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, look what it says, ye were sealed. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit just didn't indwell you, He sealed you. He said, well, what's the significance of a seal? Well, a seal is a mark of ownership. It's a mark of ownership. We understand that, I think, if there's 1,000 different ways we could illustrate it. When a child is born to our family, we give him the same last name. That's our seal. That's our mark of ownership. We say he belongs to the Fury family or he belongs to whatever. When you have a cattle farm, what do? They brand them. They say, that's our cattle. Don't you? Man, you get shot for stealing a man's cattle. So they mark them and they put a sign of ownership upon them. The Lord Jesus Christ has branded us, so to speak. The Bible says, but as many as receive Him, to them give He power to become the sons of God. We are called by His name. We are children. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We are owned by Christ. The Bible says, what know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We belong to Him. We are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit. We are purchased possessions. We're redeemed through the blood of the cross. It is a mark of ownership, this seal that He places upon our lives. I'm so thankful that that mark of ownership means that it is a mark that preserves us. That preserves us. Do you know that I could never keep my salvation? I couldn't do it. I'm a sinner. If I lost my salvation every time I sinned, I'd have to get saved every day. Every day. But my Bible says, I know whom I have believed and persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. He preserves us. That's the mark of ownership. He's saying, I'm going to save you and I'm going to keep you by indwelling you with my Holy Spirit and marking you as one of my own. It's a mark that preserves, but it's also a mark that protects. You know that definition of the word sealed literally implies security from Satan. I looked that up in the Greek dictionary. That's exactly what it says. Security from Satan. That's one of the definitions of the word sealed. In other words, when the devil attacks, we have to say, I don't belong to you, devil. God says, I put my seal upon him. They are washed in the blood of Christ. They are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You can't have them. They're not yours. They are bought with a price. Oh, we might have been owned by the devil at one time. You remember the old Pharisees and Jesus said, "Your father, the devil"? You remember that? We were children of disobedience, but we've been transformed into children of light. We were once owned by somebody else, but Jesus bought us with a price, with the blood of Calvary. And now we belong to Him, and it's a mark that protects us from the devil. The Bible says this, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." You see, why do we get in so much trouble then? Because we're not resisting. We're not resisting. We got to be careful. Any accord that you reach with the devil has been voluntarily entered into on your part. You entered into it voluntarily. You say, "Oh, that devil got me again." No, you volunteered. Because you are sealed and you're marked. You're a child of God. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. We are to be overcomers. We are to be victorious in Christ Jesus. And so that's all part of the promise. We are sealed as a mark of protection. We are sealed as a mark of authentication. The Bible says, the definition of the word sealed also means this: inspected and found to be true. I think if I were to ask some of the men here today to reach into their suit coat pockets, I'm going to see if I got one. I might have one. Nope, that's a candy wrapper. Sometimes you find, nope, I probably took it out. But sometimes you'll find a little tag that says inspected by Inspector 13. You ever found those in your coat pockets, fellas? You ever see that? Yeah, nod your head. You get that little silicone thing. You know what I'm talking about? The little bag that has the silicone. And it says, "Do not eat on it." I mean, come on. It looks like a pack of salt. Maybe that's what they're thinking. I don't know. And then you get that little tag. It says, "Inspected by Inspector Whoever." That's their seal that they inspected it and found it to be quality, authentic, true, something that they're willing to put their name on. When we were in Africa, we went to this little market and they were selling shoes. And Brendan bought a pair of Converse or Nike or something, I don't remember, but they were a name brand. And they were like $8 or something. Now back here, they'd be over $100. But they're like $8. And so I said to one of the pastors, I said, "How come they can sell them here for like $8 and they're back home, they're $100? I said, "Is it just because they're taking advantage of our market or what are they doing?" He says, "No." He says, "You know back home when you get those inspection tags in yours?" And we said, "Yeah." He goes, "These ones don't have those." He says, "Because they were inspected and they had a fault in them. There was something not right with them. They weren't 100%. We thought, "Well, that's fine. Brendan's not 100% either. So there you go." No. So he says, "They send them here and we sell them cheap." But he says, "They're still Converse. They're still Nike. But they don't want to put their name on them." So sometimes they'll have that little swoop, but they won't have the name Nike on them. Because they don't want to put their name on it. Or they may leave some of the trademark off, or they'll be a little bit different than what you'd buy in North America because they don't want to put their stamp on it. The Holy Spirit, when He indwells you, that's God saying, "That's my child. He is saved. It is 100% authentic salvation." Listen, if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not saved. That's the mark. We talk about the mark of the beast. Listen, God has a mark too. He puts His Holy Spirit within you. That's the mark of authentication. We're also sealed as a means of imparting truth. Look at the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1. Why does the Holy Spirit come? It's a means of imparting truth. Verse 17. "That the God of your Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you." So He says in verse 13, "I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the Spirit." There's the word again. "Of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power." God says, "I'm sending my Holy Spirit so you might understand some things, that I can guide you into all truth, that I can teach you about my glory." So He seals us as a means of imparting truth. I want you to see thirdly today, we've looked at the promise of His Spirit and the promise of His seal. I want you to see the promise of His separation. Look what it says back in verse 13 again. in whom ye also trusted, trusting Christ, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now it doesn't end there, there's a comma. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. He said, what am I set apart for? First of all, you're set apart for redemption. Now, this can get a little bit confusing. Because in Ephesians 1, verse 7, the Bible says this, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Right? Everybody on verse 7, look at it. In whom we have redemption through His blood. Verse 7 says, we have redemption. Verse 14 says, until the redemption. Well, which is it? I don't have the time. I wish I did. It's 5 minutes out. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid the price for my sin, and I, by faith, came to Him as a child and put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and believed in Him, His Holy Spirit indwelt me, and He redeemed my sin-sick soul. You get that? We have redemption through His blood. My soul was redeemed. I was a child of disobedience. Now I'm a child of God. I was purchased and brought into His family. All right? I can show you 100 scriptures, but I don't have the time. The redemption that I'm waiting for is the redemption of my body. One day I'll be caught up. One day I'll be caught away. One day this mortality will put on immortality. This corruption will put on incorruption. And so we have been redeemed spiritually, but one day we'll be redeemed physically. Look, if you will, 1 Corinthians, or Romans chapter 8. Sorry, Romans chapter 8. I'm going to show you a couple verses quickly. Romans chapter 8. Verse 22 says, or go back to verse 21. Because the creature itself, that's us, also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. What is the bondage of corruption? A lot of times we read something like that and we say, well, that must be living in this world where this place is a place of corruption and terror. No, the bondage of corruption is your body. It's breaking down. It's corrupting. It's getting sick all the time. And eventually we will die physically if the Lord doesn't return. So one day, in verse 21, because of the creature itself shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. So we that have the first fruits of the Spirit, what's he saying? We have the down payment, don't we? We only have the first fruits. We don't have all. One day we'll get to the glory of heaven, we'll get everything, we'll see everything. But right now, it's just the earnest of our inheritance. It's the first fruits. He says, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit, the redemption of our body. One day Jesus is coming for us. You know, apart from the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't have that. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, we're looking to that glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the blessed hope. But you only have that hope through Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit. Turn, if you will, to Colossians chapter 1. Just a couple pages ahead of our text. Colossians chapter 1. The Bible says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. We've been redeemed. And we are set apart for that day. Listen. In the Old Testament, Moses came to Pharaoh and he said, let my people go. They began to, through God's power, perform all kinds of plagues and miracles. But you remember the last one, it was going to be the death of the firstborn. So they took a lamb and they shed the blood of this lamb and they put it upon the lintels and the doorposts. And the Bible says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. There was a mark put on their homes. It was a mark of safety. Do you know nothing has changed? When God sees the blood of Christ, He'll know that we're set apart. when He sees the mark of His Holy Spirit on our lives and we are indwelt. So when the trumpet sounds and God comes, He doesn't have to go, okay, now you're mine, but you're not, and you're... No, no, we're all marked. We're marked unto the day of redemption. We're set apart for Him. But I want you to get this. If you don't get anything else today, I want you to get this. We are set apart for His glory. You are set apart for His glory. You see, why did Christ do all this for me? So that you might bring glory to the Father. The Bible says it twice, as a matter of fact. Verse 12 says that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. And then in verse 14 it says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. That's why you're set apart. You know, we're raising a generation of selfish Christians. We're set apart, we're saved to do whatever we want. I'm going to heaven, I'm saved, I'm blood-bought. No, you are set apart for a purpose. To bring as much glory to the Father as you possibly can. That's why the Holy Spirit comes into our lives. That's why the still small voice says, don't do that. That doesn't bring glory to the Father. That's why the Holy Spirit is prompting. I hope He's prompting you. We get these old hymns and we get singing Victory in Jesus. Everybody's out there, Victory in Jesus. I've heard it 1,000 times. Man, the Holy Spirit ought to be saying, sing to the glory of God. Sing it out. Man, I enjoy being around Brother Lake. Because everything he does, man, he does it with all his heart. When he's singing, when he's preaching, I like that. He says, God, give me a big mouth to use for His glory. That's what he told me. Praise the Lord. We are set apart for His glory. Don't ever, if you don't get anything else today, don't you ever forget that. God has saved you. He died for you. He shed His blood for you. He's coming again for you. And He's doing it all because He wants to bring glory to His Father. Is that what we're doing with our lives? Or are we trying to magnify ourselves? Bring glory to ourselves. You're singing in the choir because you want people to hear you. Are you doing specials? You playing? Is that why? Or are we doing it because we want to bring glory to the Father? That ought to be the sole purpose of our lives. Do you know that God created man in His image and for His glory? That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, and let me close with this, Revelation chapter 4. Turn there if you will. Revelation chapter 4. I'll just leave you with this one verse and we'll be done. Look at verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Let's pray together. Father, help us to make that the burning desire of our hearts and lives. Help us today to surrender to the promise of the Holy Spirit, that we might bring glory to the Father, that we might do all that we can to bring Him pleasure, to put a smile upon His face. For He has created all things, and He is worthy to receive glory and honor and power. Father, bless us in this invitation time, we pray. Maybe there's one here today that has not trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. May today be their day of salvation. Father, we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Nobody's looking around. We won't embarrass you in any way. We just want you to have a moment with the Lord. To respond to the Word of God today. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to our hearts and we don't respond, we're being disobedient. This altar's open even now if you'd like to come and thank God for the work that He's done in your life and the Holy Spirit that He's placed within your heart. But maybe there's one here today. Say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. If I were to die today, I don't know that I have that relationship with Jesus Christ that is necessary to know the Father, to be reconciled to Him. And I know that Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life, and I have to come through Him. I have to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one, say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me? I promise I won't embarrass you. I won't call you out. Would you just slip up your hand? Let me pray for you today. My prayer won't save you, but I want to ask God to help you. Is there one? Not sure I'm saved. I don't have a relationship with the Lord that I should have. Maybe there's others here today just need to take a moment and thank the Lord for what He's done. Maybe you need to surrender to that Holy Spirit in your life. The Bible says be filled with the Spirit. The Bible says walk in the Spirit that you fulfill not the lust of the flesh. Would you surrender to Him today? Let Him have full control of your life. He will point you to Jesus every time. He'll bring glory to the Father in your life. Let Him work through you. Brother Baker.